Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
What's good, baby? And a happy Friday to you. Welcome in to the May 20th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
Acknowledge me.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are so happy that you are here with us. We got lots we want to talk about today. Bryant West, the draft guru of the Kings Herald, going to be with us a little over 1 hour from now. Trista Crick, the top of the 2 o'clock hour. James Hamm coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Some Kings news to talk about. Some Kings fans were excited. Some Kings fans were concerned to find out the Sacramento Kings interviewed Shaedon Sharpe while in Chicago, which, spoiler alert, that's what they're supposed to do. We'll talk about that. Also, a familiar name. Well, we got an, yeah, saying, go ahead. I know.
Shaedon gets interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
He then stops his workouts and leaves.
He got that Zeke Sacramento Kings promise. He got that Zeke promise. Some of you don't get that reference, and that's okay. If you Google
Sharp, really 25.
If you that's going to be a cold world when we find out Zeke is actually a 32-year-old. Google Zeke gets promise from Sacramento Kings for those who don't get it. Also, Jay Triano joining the Sacramento Kings coaching staff. We'll talk about the positives of that. Mike Brown filling out his coaching staff here. So we'll dive into all of that. And as promised, we took a deep dive into Keegan Murray. And this is going to happen a lot for the next month. I liked what I saw. I have an approach to this, though. Like, I have a way to kind of quell those, you know, you can only get so much from highlights, right? Mm-hmm. You if you're looking for something in a highlight, you're almost certainly going to find it. We'll let you know what our plan is moving forward for evaluating these guys. And bonus question, are we just talking three guys here? We'll get into all of that. But, man, we got to start with Marcus Smart and the Boston Celtics. I guess we're just not getting a good conference championship game in these finals because we've had three definitive blowouts. Of course, the blowout in game one with the Celtics and the Heat really was confined to a single quarter that the Boston Celtics weren't able to recover from. The Golden State Warriors are still pulling their foot out of their backside of the Dallas Mavericks as they get ready for game two tonight. And we got an absolute blowout on the hands of the Boston Celtics last night as they just, as good old JR would say, stomped a mud hole in the Heat and walked it dry.
Beat them like a government mule.
And I don't know why JR is always beating government mules either. I never understood that. JR had a couple of catchphrases that I always like, man, I just don't understand this one.
And then JR would always give his little scouting report. Oh, there he is. 6'6", 245 out of Oklahoma.
Yeah. played fullback.
That's blue chip.
We hear you, JR. We know. We know, JR. That's blue chipper. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Man,
but the Boston Celtics did all of that last night to the Miami Heat. And it was even more impressive because Miami came out ready to go. Looked like Miami was going to pick up right where they left off in game one. Started off hot. I think they got about an 11, 13 point lead. And Celtics were like, nah, it's okay. We'll walk you down. As a matter of fact, we'll walk you down in the first quarter. We're not even going to walk you down over the course of the game. We're going to have the lead by the end of the first quarter.
See, that's what we were talking about. That's what we were talking about, man. It really felt like, I don't want to overplay Marcus Smart too much, but for those who remember that point where I think the score was 18-10, and the Heat had the ball, they were getting ready to push the lead to double digits. They got a stop there, brought the ball back. Marcus Smart scored. I think Miami called timeout. If they didn't call timeout, there was a dead ball, but there was something that stopped play for a minute. And I just remember Marcus kind of did the hands up. We got one play at a time. Like, we got it. We're good. And that's where, and I don't remember where the run stopped. I know it hit at least 11-0. That's the run that the Celtics went on at that point that eventually got them the lead and went back and forth for a little while before they just, your champion, before Tatum hit a couple of shots that just busted that thing open. It's like, yeah, this is donezo.
That boy Tatum, man.
Talk about it.
This dude is so nice. When he shoots threes, when he shoots his jump shot, y'all notice how he never even hit the rim. Tatum be splashing on them boys. Mm-hmm. That thing don't ever hit the rim.
He just rises
and fires and just whoosh, whoosh, every single time. And you're looking at a situation now where I said Jimmy was coming for the belt, and I still mean that. I'm not counting out Jimmy. I'm not counting out Miami. Even though I picked Boston to win the series, I think it's still going to go 6 or 7. But they got the best player in the series. Boston does, and then you combine that with the way Jaylen Brown started the game. You combine that with your guy Marcus Smart, what he's doing. Robert Williams is looking like a menace out there inside. Mm-hmm. Boston. I know it may sound like we're prisoners of the moment and everything like that, because we kind of did the same thing with Golden State yesterday after they beat up on Dallas. But Boston got some championship vibes right now, man. Yeah. I can't even front. And I'm happy for my man Jesse and Mr. Tapia. But no, I don't like Boston. Don't get it twisted. But, man, I can't deny what I'm seeing.
I like Boston a lot. I like the Boston Celtics. That's what I'm talking about. Well, you like Ime Udoka, too.
I like the coaches. I like everybody involved.
Just you don't like the jersey that they wear. You mentioned Robert Williams, man. Grant Williams is playing some ball, man. Those dudes have progressed just so nicely. Like, this team has come together, played really well. There was a Nick Stauskas sighting yesterday. Oh, the man. Game got so out of control. I was like, somewhere Vivek Ranadive is thinking, how can we do it? How can we get him back here? But, man, you talk about championship vibes. I never got any vibes from Miami after that game one. Mm-hmm. That's not a knock on them at all. It was like they had a big third quarter. By the way, another big performance from Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy did what he did, yeah.
It was like, okay, not, all right, well, okay. Just going to take that for what it was. Going to take it for a game in which a quarter got out of hand for Boston. It's hard. I don't know. Celtics look good in the other quarters. I'm going to leave that for what it is.
Hey, man.
I walk away from last night's game feeling different. That's not how I feel watching the Celtics beat the Heat last night.
Hey,
I don't have that same, one game. We'll see what happens next.
NBA old boy just right in my head right now, because Boston's been pretty dominant for 7 of the 8 quarters. It took one. And I don't know if, like, it's StatMuse historical, you know, Will Z historical. I don't know, but I'm going to just call it historical. It took one historical third quarter for Miami to win game one. Other than that, Boston's dominated these guys the entire time. And I still like Miami as a team, so I'm going to hold off saying that they, you know, this is the way it's going to be. It's clear that they're not as good as Boston. Like I said, I picked Boston to win it, but I think it's a pretty close series. But now they got to go to TD Garden, and it's imperative. It is crucial that the Miami Heat get one of these games somehow, some way. I don't know how they're going to do it, but somehow, some way, They're going to have to get one. They're going to have to get a better performance out of Bam. They're going to have to get a more consistent performance out of Tyler Hero. We saw Duncan Robinson finally come into this game after he hasn't played in like 2.5 weeks. They're probably going to need him to hit some threes. But that almost felt like Coach Spo was searching for answers.
That's exactly what I was going to say. When you haven't played Duncan Robinson essentially in the playoffs, and all of a sudden you're throwing him out there, you're trying to find something. Mm-hmm. And whether you're trying to find something to get yourself into that game, whether you're trying to find something to get yourself through that game, I don't know that as highly as I think of Eric Spoelstra, I don't know that he found anything to get them going in game three. Mm-hmm. And maybe that wasn't his intent. Maybe his intent was, we had a good first game. They had a good second game. Let's hit the reset button. We'll come out stronger. It's difficult to, you know, assess whether, you know, it's the old line, you know, did so-and-so lose the game or did so-and-so beat them? Or did so-and-so lose the game or did so-and-so win the game? Mm-hmm. Man, it just felt like Boston beat the crap out of them last night. I don't think Miami was awful. I don't think they, you know, did anything super egregious. I'm sure Coach Spoelstra is going to tell him, yo, we turned the ball over way too much. I think two turnovers is too many for a coach. But, you know, the points off turnovers, you know, were impactful, especially since a lot of them happened during that run. You talk about championship vibes. You get them from Golden State. Get them from Boston. Mm-hmm. Haven't gotten them anywhere else.
Yeah.
I don't think we're getting any from Dallas either.
No. I'm going to say it right now, and they can replay it. Dr. David, you know, Jesse, you guys can play it if it's wrong. Stick a fork in Dallas. They're not beating the Warriors four times. I'm not sure they're beating them three times.
That's just the one thing where it's like, what does Dallas do really well? Or what can Dallas do really well? They can hit the three. All right, cool. Who can hit the three better than them? Well, the team that they're playing.
Right.
Like, they're not going to shy away from that. Like, they're not going to be scared of that. Mm-hmm. The Warriors are not going to be scared of Dallas. Oh, Dallas hit a couple threes in a row. Cool. All right. Watch this. That's what Golden State could do.
It's almost like in boxing when they say you can't hook a hooker.
Oh my, that doesn't sound appropriate.
That's what they say. The left hook. If somebody is really good at the left hook, you can't throw a left hook at somebody that throws a left hook
at a hooker. Yes, that's okay. Well, there you go. There you go, folks. You can't throw a left hook at a hooker. Thanks, Kenny. Like, learn. Boy, I really got to start sticking around for these 13th rounds. Boy, I don't know what I'm missing. Man, brother, go get some green juice and getting the whole world getting turned up out there. Man.
That's what it is, man. Real quick before we get out of here, did you see the Jesse might have saw it too. Did you see the Deuce, Jason Tatum's son, dissing Grant Williams?
Yeah, man.
Somebody in one of the captions was like, Tatum was like, come on, son, let's get out of here.
There really isn't a lot to break down from last night's game other than, you know, Marcus Smart's impact is just so tremendous on a basketball team. He's such a key piece to what they did. Obviously, Al Horford returned as well, played his role. They have, you talk about complete rosters, you talk about the best this, the best that. Man, Boston's looking like a phenomenal basketball team right now, and Miami's going to have a lot to do to change my mind, and it sounds like to change our mind. We're going to come back, and we're going to dive into the Kings. We're going to talk about Keegan Murray. We talked a lot about Shaedon Sharpe yesterday. We talked a lot about Jaden Ivey. We did a deep dive into Keegan Murray as well, and I think I have some... You have strong opinions on Keegan Murray. I know you'll share those, and I think I have some counters to those opinions. So we'll dive into that. We'll talk Kings basketball when we return here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and Casey continues streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Christopher Wallace's birthday would have been tomorrow, man. So we'll celebrate him here today. Stilo and KC brought to you by McQueen and the Violet Fog, the smoothest gin in the world, handcrafted in Brazil. First pour coming up a shade under 3 hours from now.
Biggie Smalls, still to this day. I got to get that drop on here. to this day, still one of the greatest to ever do it. Jesse, does your generation, do you guys still acknowledge Biggie is one of the greats? Or you, like, when you hear him, do you think he's dope? Or is it just like, this is what the older heads say is dope? So
no, yeah, he's one of the five best ever. I mean, I think Tupac's the best ever, but yeah, Biggie's like right up there.
Yeah. Biggie.
But I don't think, like, my younger brother, he's like 4 years younger than me. I don't think he knows, but I don't think he thinks of him like I do. Like, that's part of that generation probably doesn't think of him like that anymore.
Big's lines, his rhymes and everything, I always thought they were pretty simple, but the timing and the way he would, like, he could say cat and hat, but the way he put it together, it was just sick. Like, he's not like Kendrick. He's not Nas. Mm-hmm. But, man, his timing and his delivery.
He's a different type of storyteller than those two guys are. Man.
It was flawless. Flawless. One of the greatest ever.
It's so funny, too, because, like, Big is like, if 2015 was Steph Curry's rookie season and Steph retired in 2017 and we're calling Steph Curry the greatest of all time or one of the greatest of all times, that's what we do with Big.
Yeah.
Like, Big, for my money, there's only two albums. Born Again isn't a real album. Duet sure as hell ain't a real album. Nothing that came out after Life After Death is a real album. Right. He's got two albums. That's what we base everything on.
A dude won Rookie of the Year and MVP in his first season. That's what he did.
Yeah,
Rookie of the Year and MVP.
Yep.
And then
MVP Candace Parker.
He went
Candace Parker and then retired, and that's right. Big. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, man. R.I.P. Happy birthday, Biggie Smalls, man.
Keegan Murray, that was a name that came up kind of in passing yesterday, as we spent a great deal of time talking about Jaden Ivey, shared some things that I had heard about him. Kenny shared some thoughts on him, of course, that we had to bring Kenny's true love of this draft, Shaedon Sharpe, into the conversation. And that's fine. That's fine. Everybody got to fall in love. Ooh, da-doo-doo, doo-doo.
I thought you were going to go A-Marie. Why don't we all fall in love?
That's a niche cut. That was a summer anthem. It was a niche cut.
Were you?
But
were
it
you,
was. It was.
Were you on the ones and twos at that point? Yeah.
Yeah, I introduced A. Maria's single, my first like single to my out. It was headlined by Lisa and the Cult Jam. And don't get it twisted. Lisa was dope. I ain't turning my nose up at that. But yeah, A. Marie was here at Discovery Park.
Why don't we fall in love? That was major.
That was a jam. Yeah. That was a jam. But no, that's not where I was going. We know why you fall in love. You love athleticism. You love potential. You get tantalized buckets. You love buckets, and Shaedon Sharpe can provide those. And we're going to talk about Shaedon Sharpe. As James Hamm reported today, the Kings interviewed him during the draft combine in Chicago. But we and if you missed any of this conversation, of course, you could check it out in the archives, whether it's on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. If you're a podcast subscriber, we hope that you are. Odyssey, Apple, whatever. Like, you can catch past episodes on all of those platforms. But Keegan Murray was a guy who came up like kind of later because we were talking about with Jaden Ivey and Shaedon Sharpe. We're essentially talking about, you know, a two and potentially a two and a three. Mm-hmm. And even for Jaden Ivey, one of your concerns is, he's a two for sure, but he's a smaller two. And now you're getting into concerns of a smaller backcourt, and you're kind of, you know, we're counterpunching here with guys. I felt, you know, super strongly about what I had heard and seen from Jaden Ivey. And Keegan Murray came up in the conversation later because he is, without question, a position fit for this roster. Like, he is a four. He is like Keegan Murray is a legit, in my opinion, and you tell me if you disagree with this, Keegan Murray, for me, is an opening night starting four.
I could see that for sure. I don't disagree.
If Keegan Murray can't beat out Trey Lyles for the job, yep, wrong pick. Yeah. No shit. That's not a knock on Trey Lyles. I like Trey Lyles on this team. I like him in a certain role. Starting four, that's not the role that I see Trey Lyles in moving forward.
Yeah, and I understand that completely. I like Keegan Murray's game, so I was just trying to make sure I thought about that before. But yeah, he's a starting four.
He can complement Sabonis in the belief that, at least in college, he can stretch the floor. He can step out and shoot the three at a decent clip. I think more than a decent clip. I think he approached 40%. He can shoot in that range. Mm-hmm. He seems kind of, and I feel like this is part of your concern with him. You please correct me if I'm wrong. He seems kind of reserved, like almost quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched a number of and admittedly, I was watching highlight reels. One of them was put out by, I think it was Swish. It was like 15 minutes long.
They're good.
They're very good because they throw the very rare defensive highlight in there as well. Like they threw quite a bit in there. But what really stood out to me is I'm like 11, 12 minutes into this thing. There was one and it stood out to me. And I think he got a steal kind of in the front court, brought it in quick dunk. And then he did the flex. Ah, that was like the only time he reacted to anything.
Yeah.
He didn't react. I mean, and he had a number of dunks, dunks in transition, dunks in the offense, step back three. He did a lot in there. That's like, oh, okay, kid, I see you. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that he reacted to in the whole 15-minute highlight. And I thought, okay, I can see Kenny not liking that.
I mean, I would rather, especially with all the other guys that we have on this team, like we don't have anybody that really does that anymore because Fox doesn't do that anymore. It's more fun.
Dunk?
When you dunk, talk to the crowd.
Yeah, yeah,
put the ear, cut the ear, all this. Like, nobody does that anymore.
Show any level of joy. Yeah, right. I got you. Yeah.
So I would rather that. But I'd also just rather wins too, right? So if he was on the team and he brought wins and he didn't say two words, it wouldn't bother me. It's fine. But his game is pretty this is going to come off like a diss, and I don't mean it as one, but it's just kind of basic, you know? It's kind of basic. Like, I make my move. I get my bucket. Sometimes, you know, I'll dunk it, and it'll be a nice two-hand flush. Sometimes I'll just lay it in. You know, no pizzazz, no jelly on the shots, nothing like that. But basic can be good. Basic can be really good. You know, Tim Duncan was as basic as they get. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's going to be Tim Duncan, but there's not a whole lot of pizzazz to his game, but he's still effective in a major way.
He's aggressive. I feel like he's pretty good in the open floor. Like, mm-hmm. not great, but he can handle the ball. You know what I mean? Like, you're not cringing if he has the ball in his hands coming up the floor. Of course, that could change in the NBA versus, you know, the college. But he's also really aggressive on the block,
yes.
Which I don't know the last Sacramento King that was for 28, 30 minutes a night. Like
that's a long time ago now.
And that's like for DeMarcus, that's like five teams ago.
Right.
For us, that's five coaches ago. he could be really aggressive on the block. There's a lot, and again, this is going to happen a ton over the next month, but there's a lot that he does that I really like. Now, the caveat to this is our plan moving forward, you know, is watching highlights is fun, and I don't think that presents a complete package. Like, I've always had a beef with, I think, a lot of East Coast reporters watch highlights of like West Coast football games. I'm firmly of the belief people didn't watch Christian McCaffrey play at Stanford. Like, Christian McCaffrey not winning the Heisman Trophy is incredible. And I think what people do is they watch highlights. And one thing that you can't get from a highlight, you could get a play and you can react to what you saw in that play. Mm-hmm. What you can't get in a highlight is, how did that impact the game?
Right.
Like, what impact do these young men have on the game? Like, you know, this isn't something we're going to be able to figure out with Shaden Sharp, but what type of impact does Jaden Ivey have on the game? What type of impact does Keegan Murray have on the game? Does one of those dunks, does one of those steals, does one of those step back threes, does it change the swing of things, you know, for Iowa, for their respective teams? So we're going to try to watch games in their entirety and see, like, yo, what type of impact do these guys have on their teams? And that's going to be a whole lot different than watching highlights. And I think that's what ultimately will tell the picture. But from a highlight standpoint, from a pros and a cons standpoint, I don't think there's a lot of cons with Keegan Murray. There aren't just, like, in terms of his game. Now, I understand having another, essentially, personality-wise, and this, again, I hate when you have to preface, this isn't shade. It's like Harrison, right? Like, yeah. you're getting, like, sometimes you, having a Harrison is great.
Right.
Sometimes you need someone with fire. You need what? You need a Amon Shumpert. You don't need three of them, but you could really use one of them. You could really use one, you know, formerly Ron Artest. You don't want four of those guys. I don't know that we need multiple versions of Harrison Barnes. Like, I don't know that we need three guys in the starting lineup who are relatively quiet and cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's...
Collected is fine. Calm is fine. You want some emotion from these guys.
Right, and that's the concern, right? That's the concern about, you know, just like the leadership, right? And who's going to be the leader? Who's going to... you know, who's going to galvanize these guys? You know, if everybody is just kind of quiet and reserved.
What were we just talking about? Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that guy? Like, yeah. Marcus was calm, cool, and collected last night. When he have to get on the side of your neck, he will.
Yeah,
he did it earlier this season, very, very publicly.
Yeah,
he'll do it. Like, having a guy who can do that, and maybe it's ridiculous to think that's a guy you're going to take in the 2022 draft.
Right.
Maybe that's a guy who has to come from somewhere else in your free agent workings. But I just start thinking, like, I have a bunch of quiet. Is this Golden One Center going to be the quietest court on the planet?
By the time. He finds his bark, so to speak.
Oh my!
Everybody else is gonna be gone.
Better get Trey Lance on the phone.
Trey Lance,
Trey, how you find that bark, kid?
Trey Lance, got the numbers right after the draft. Got the numbers of everybody that was drafted. Texted him, let him know, hey, welcome to the squad. Get ready for practices. Come on, man, leader. Finding his bark.
That's a leader. That's absolutely. Hey, no question.
This is his team.
I like that more than your he found his bark because he tweeted something. Yeah, I like, you
know, he didn't tweet before. Now he started tweeting. He's like, hey, relax. I'm here. I had enough of this.
Okay.
His bark.
That's fine.
But to your point about, like, not a lot of cons with Keegan, I agree with you. I think he may have the highest floor of the three guys that we talk about. Where you're just,
like, okay.
You're not. I don't look at Keegan as being a bad basketball player in any way. I think he's going to be in the league for 10 years, and I think he's got the lowest bust potential of the three, in my opinion.
Okay,
he's very safe. Mm-hmm. He's very safe, but.
Sometimes, like, his floor safe and his can ceiling, be right.
His floor I'm and his ceiling saying. Might be right here. You know what I'm saying? For all the people that can't see on the radio, like, my hands are this close to each other. Whereas Shaden, his floor and ceiling may be here. Like, his floor here, but that ceiling go crazy. You know
but
what it, I mean?
But see, what you're not doing, though, is his floor could also be here.
Yeah,
this is a very, very visual bit.
Is here,
this is a very, like, visual bit. Mid. I'm so sorry to the people no, listening
I'm
on the radio.
To if the floor is, like, at my chest for Keegan, uh-huh. and his ceiling is at my jaw, mm-hmm. then that's cool. Shaden might be, like, his floor might be at my belly button, but his ceiling may be 5 inches over my head.
You know what's funny about this is... As I like it, because I think a lot about your passion for Shaden Sharp. It's like I see these other guys that I like, and, you know, why is Kenny so rallied behind Shaden Sharp? And I realize what it is, why you and I have such interesting conversations in this regard.
Huh.
You're a gambler. You like to lay wages. I don't. Like, I very much do not. You love the you know, the plus 5.5 at home, or like you love that stuff. I do not. I hate it. I don't want to go play blackjack and have some skilled dealer take my money from me. I don't want to do none of that. You enjoy that. You like the Vegas life. That's not me. That's not me. And I realize I think that factors in heavily to our assessment of players and our desire to have them on the Kings.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. I completely understand it. Now,
you're more willing to push all of the chips to the center, where I'm like, I'm going to hold on to a couple of these red ones just in case. Let me see. Well, wait a minute.
But I'll say I'm a calculated gambler, because I'm looking at this particular situation as like, what? Just think back in the past. How many, we can talk about like who the Kings passed on or whatever, but how many of these type of possible guys have they passed on? Probably a handful, maybe a little bit more than that. But you pass on them in the draft. How many times have they been able to get these guys in trade? Probably zero.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you been able to get these guys in free agency? Probably zero. And you're in a spot now where it's like, man, you can get a guy, you can get a type of guy that the entire league covers, possibly. Like everybody in the league is looking for this 6'6", the 6'9", guy that can score on three levels, can create his own shot. When things get crazy, ball goes out of bounds. There's 1.5 on the shot clock on the baseline. Get that ball to Tatum on the inbounds. Let him turn around and hit a fall away over the best defender in the game, or one of them, in Drew Holiday. Like, everybody looking for that guy. And I'm not saying Shaden is for sure going to be that guy. I'll probably say this every day on this show. I understand the risk. He could be nowhere near that guy. But think back to just in these recent drafts. You had Luka. Other than Luka, when did you even have an opportunity to take a guy like this? I guess like you go back to risk? Fox. Yeah, you go back to Fox and you're talking Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Right. I mean, yeah, maybe Donovan. The other draft.
I mean, certainly taking him. I mean, that's a 5 versus what, 13? What was Donovan taking at? Like, that's 13,
yeah. But I'm not even talking about Fox's pick. I'm talking like the pick that you traded. You had 10.
Oh, sure.
You had 10 and you could have took Donovan. Yep. So that's one there. You throw Luka in there. Other than that, when have you even had a chance to get a possible guy like this? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, now I'm looking at it like, now's the time where I'll push my chips in. I may not always do it, but now's the time. I told James this the other day. I don't think you were here. I don't think I said this to you. But a guy with the potential of Shaden, if I draft him and he's not what I think he could be, and say Ivy and Keegan Murray are good ball players, I can live with that. I can live with that. I took a shot, didn't work out. I can live with that. I'll probably be fired. I won't have a job, but I can live with that.
But
here's the other scenario. If I play it safe and take Ivy or Murray and Shaden is who I think he could be, I can't live with that. Does that make sense?
Like, no, it makes complete sense.
If he is what I think he could be and I passed on it, oh. Okay. I'm gonna fire myself.
Okay. No, that's completely fine. But what if is there an alternative where Shaden's just like, because you, if, for some reason with these players, we go transcending, bust.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at no point have I read an article or have heard a conversation where someone's like, yeah, no, Shaden can be good.
Right.
No, it's either Shaden is going to be it, or he's going to be it with an SH in front of it. Like there's like no in between with Shaedon Sharpe, where it's like, don't you also have to factor in, because we talk, you know, obviously Bagley's the talk because of, you know, Luka's the talk with Bagley. Trey Young's there too.
Mm-hmm.
You had a chance to get Trey Young. You had a chance to draft Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, there, it's not just like, do you look at like what is, how much does what Ivy becomes factor into this? Mm-hmm. How much does what Keegan Murray becomes factor into this? Because you can see there's a little bit of, man, this is tough. This is where scouting is tough, because there's a little bit of trying to be the smartest person in the room here. Where with Keegan Murray and Ivy, like, you look directly at it and you see it, and it's right there and it's in front of you. With Shaedon, you're projecting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we see it, sort of. We just need to see it in practice. We need to see it in its fullest form. And it's tough.
To your point, I saw somebody on Twitter, I forgot who it was. Somebody might have tagged me or something, but somebody was like, yeah, man, I'm just not seeing it from Shaedon. He's got these holes in his game and this and that. He doesn't really pass. And like right now, I'm looking at him and he's not generational. He's Terrence Ross. And I'm like, that's a, you meant that as a diss, right? Like, Terrence Ross can go. Like, Terrence Ross has been in the league for 10, 12 years, still gets buckets. He's still a bucket. He just seems to like Orlando. You know what I mean? Like, if Shaedon Sharpe was Terrence Ross, I'm cool. I'm cool with that. Is he, like, where I want him to be? Mm-hmm. No, but still a good career. Jaden Ivey, if they took him and he was Terrence Ross, it's a good look. It's a good look. So, I just say it basically, like, if we took those guys and Shaedon ended up being Terrence Ross, let's just say that, I'm okay. I can live with that. Will that prove out to be the best player out of the three or whatever? Not saying that, but I can live with the fact in this particular situation, when I had this opportunity as the Sacramento Kings, I shot my shot. I think that's kind of what it comes down to with everything, like, right? Even with,
and now I'm collecting unemployment.
Well, look, even with, like, with this career, I gave everything I had. And my whole thing after this was, if I give everything I have and I don't make it, I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't give everything I have and I don't make it, I can't live with that. Because I'll be saying, if I would have just took my shot.
And I get that. But I also feel like that's an extreme, right? Like, what if it was more, what if the war room is like, yo, Shaedon Sharpe is, yo, he could be a potential game changer.
Mm-hmm.
We could win right now with Jaden Ivey or Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take your pick as to win. We could win right now. Our goal is, if you believe the reports, a Minnesota-esque like turnaround. Our goal is to make the playoffs next year. That's our goal. We believe we can do that with the roster that we have in either Jaden Ivey or Keegan Murray. We still think Shaedon Sharpe. We think Shaedon, he could be this team's first all-star in a decade or whatever.
Yeah.
He could get us to where we want to go, but he could get us above where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys could get us there right now. How much does that factor in? And think about that for a second before you answer it, because that was a loaded question to ask here this close.
After I answer that, I got a question for you and everybody else, because there's a couple of things going on right now that I'm just sitting back like, I want to see what's going on here.
I love sound effect, Kenny. We'll find out what those mean when we come back. Plus, Bryant West, this is just a perfect conversation to lead into Bryant West. He's coming up in about an hour from now. I know he's watching. He's getting hip to everything that we're talking about here. Lots more draft talk here coming up as D'Lo and Casey continue on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues. Streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Draft guru Bryant West of the Kings Herald set to join us coming up here a little less than 30 minutes. You can watch the show on twitch.tv/ESPN1320, youtube.com/ESPN1320. You can watch us on Facebook Live as well. Trista Crick will join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. James Hamm coming up for his regular visit at 3. It's D'Lo McKay, brought to you by McQueen and the Violet Fog, the smoothest gin in the world, handcrafted in Brazil. All right, we left on kind of a cliffhanger a minute ago where we're weighing these different prospects of, you know, Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey and Shaedon Sharpe. And the Kings interviewed Shaedon Sharpe in Chicago, as James Hamm reported today, and that got a lot of Kings fans talking. And this is just, it's the process, folks. It's the process. That's what's happening. I'd hope they interviewed Jaden Ivey and Keegan Murray as well. And I actually have a question there too. Is it just those three? Is that who we're talking about? Like, we believe that the top three are solidified in some way, shape, or form, with Jabari, Chet, and Paolo. Is this the next crop of guys here, at least as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings and Keegan, Shaedon, and Jaden Ivey?
To me, it is. And I know some people are keen on moving the pick. I'm not
a big fan of that.
That doesn't excite me at all. And like I said, I told this to James the day after. I'll reiterate it today. I'll maybe even say it some more again as the time goes on. When you talk about trading this pick, trading the Kings' first-round pick in 2022, now the number four pick, the great Fat Joe said it perfectly. Yesterday's
price. Not a player,
price,
but I crush a lot. Oh.
That was pun.
That was big
yesterday's
pun.
Yesterday's
right.
price right. is not today's price. So when you talk about Tobias Harris, I'm not even sure John Collins gets it done. When you talk
in terms
about,
of trading the pick?
Yeah, when you talk about trading that pick, I'm gonna need more. I'm gonna need something that makes me say, yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm good with this. Yeah.
Okay.
So I hear a lot of people saying trade. I'm really not interested in trading a pick unless it's for an all-star.
Trading the pick unless it's for an all-star. I'm trying to think of one. There isn't one on the market.
I know.
I mean, but that doesn't mean there isn't one to be traded.
I know.
Just means there
isn't
not one on the
we've
market.
Heard about, at least as of yet.
Right. Right.
You know, things could be going on in back channels and things of that nature. But, yeah, I'm not trading a fourth pick for Tobias Harris. And John Collins, I don't know. I'm not saying no right now, but I'm kind of looking at them, you know, with a side eye, like with the Yvette and Baby Boy side eye when they're like, John
oh,
Collins.
Yvette. Yvette has emerged.
Yeah.
Is that like the question you were going to ask everyone?
No.
Oh, okay.
But you asked me a question, though. No.
I know. I was trying to get around the fact that I can't remember what the hell I asked you. I was just trying to just slide right by that. I looked over at my notes and like Harrison is written there, but that's from earlier. I have no clue what I asked you.
This happens to us all the time.
That's why I have this stupid pen and this stupid notepad. Like, I can't remember what happened 4 minutes ago. I just didn't write it down. Like, I literally reached over to do it and stopped doing it. I have no clue what I asked you before the break. None.
But I will use this opportunity because there's a lot of people, you know, in the chat who are like, you know, what if Jaden is, you know, this and that, he could be a bust. And Ivy, like, all these dudes can be busts, man. Like, people talk about Shaedon Sharpe just because he didn't play college, or, you know, we got EYBL highlights to watch. Said it yesterday. There's college guys that play every minute for their team in college. We have all the tape in the world, and they do all these great things in college. Who come in the NBA and can't get off the bench?
There are guys that have all the intangibles, that have the flair, that have the attitude. Same thing.
Yeah. So I don't – if you're – to me personally, this is just the way I look at it. To me personally, if you're if you have a side eye towards Shaedon, that's understandable. But I'd have more. I'd have a side. I have a side eye towards everybody because I understand the draft. There is no certainty in this draft. It's all a gamble. It's all an educated guess. And maybe you're saying I don't have all the, I don't have enough education on Shaden to make an accurate, educated guess. I understand that, but you could have all the film in the world on an 18, 19 year old kid. It's still just going to be nothing more than an educated guess. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, it's 100% right. I think the one thing, which I don't know why we do, I feel like in every walk of life, like we pick a side and we have to, like we talk about wrestling all the time. You're either WWE or AEW. Like you can't be a fan of both. Mm. You're Republican or Democrat, you're blood or Crip, like it's everything. And you'll fight for that. You don't have to latch yourself to a player and fight everyone else who says otherwise. Shaden Sharp is very attractive for the Sacramento Kings. So is Jaden Ivey. Mm-hmm. So is Keegan Murray. You can have a player that you like more, but I promise you, if you're on Team Jaden Ivey, you don't have to fight someone who's on Team Shaden Sharp, right? Like we ultimately want the player who we think is going to do best for this franchise. Right now, at this exact moment, and I know this is totally naive and unrealistic, I believe any one of those three will be very, very helpful for this team.
For sure.
We'll dive into it more, and I don't think there's any point where we get to June, you know, whatever date it is, where we come in here and go, whew, boy, I tell you, this team is screwed if they draft player X.
Right.
Like, I don't think that that's going to happen. No. Now, if there's a player that we're missing that's not one of these three, that we don't come across over the course of the next few weeks that we feel like is a real, like, this is a real opportunity here, then I would probably come out of the draft scratching my head a little bit. But, you know, if you like Tyrese Halliburton and you like Davion Mitchell, you've got to respect what Monty McNair has done in the draft so far. Mm-hmm. You cannot like the other things that Monty McNair has done. But if you like those two players, you have to like what Monty's done in the draft so far, and you got to believe, you got to hope at least, with a pick a few slots higher than he's used to here in his time in Sacramento, he's got to get it just as right as he got those other two.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I look at, and we talked about it off air. I think I mentioned it on air another time, and this is something that I'll try to mention as well. I like all three of these guys that we always talk about. I think all three of them have attributes that could really help this team. Keegan Murray, when you talk about like excitement or whatever, like I'm not going to lie to you and be like super exciting to me, but what he could provide, like the talent that he has and the production that he could provide, that can be exciting for sure because he's a good ball player. He's a good fit. And if the Kings decided to go with him, there's a bunch of positives to take away from that that would have me intrigued and then excited to see how he would incorporate and help this team out. Jaden Ivey, electrifying. Box office, man. He's dope. He is dope. I'm not going to sit up here and say a bunch of bad things about him because I don't feel that way. I think they could do a lot of great things having Jaden Ivey as a number four pick and on this roster. So that's what it, you know, I deal with this a little bit on Twitter and the chatty house and all this other stuff where, you know, I'll be like, yo, I like Shaden Sharp. I'd go with him. That's my guy or whatever the case may be. That would be my pick. And people want to talk to you and like talk and go back and forth about this. And I know at least on Twitter, I only got about one, maybe two tweets in me max. And then I'll be like, look, man, clearly you just want to argue. There's nothing I can say that can convince you that this would be the right. And I'm not even necessarily trying to do that. So it's fine that you think what you think. I think what I think. We'll all find out together one way or another, whether Shaden, Ivy, Keegan Murray, whatever team they go to and wherever they go, we'll all find out together on the court and we'll see then. Like, this ain't debate class. I'm not here to debate anybody. This is what I think. This is how I feel based off the things that I see and how I evaluate things. you feel differently, that's cool too. But doesn't mean that Jaden Ivey's terrible or I'd hate him on the Kings. Same with Keegan Murray. Like, good ball players. They'd be dope.
The way that sports media works today is I'm supposed to contrive an opinion and tell you how stupid you are. And then at the end, I can say, I won the debate. That's how sports media works now. So that's what I'm supposed to do. The other, you know, kind of funny note, I guess, for people who are, because I did see James's tweet get quote tweeted a lot from people who seem to be concerned by the fact that the Kings are talking to Shaedon Sharpe, that he is clearly now a very real possibility for the Sacramento Kings at four. Is your, and again, I understand you're uncomfortable because you didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. Some of those people may like a safer pick, may like Keegan Murray. All right, Keegan Murray, dynamic score, great. You're judging that off of the 35 games that he played in his sophomore season. Because in his freshman year, he played like 20 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. And they weren't 20 impactful minutes. Like, his ascension to a potential top five pick is his sophomore year. Mm-hmm. It's not his complete body of work at Iowa. It's his sophomore season.
Right.
Jaden played a little bit more his freshman year than Keegan Murray did. Mm-hmm. But the impact he had that can comfortably financially set him for the rest of his life by declaring for the NBA draft happened in his sophomore season. Mm-hmm. So, these guys went to college. We got more tape on it. Like, let's stop. You've got a year on them. That's basically what we're talking about is you've got about 35 games for each of them versus, and I get it, 35 versus zero. That's a blowout. That's game seven Bucks Mavericks, like that's or Suns Mavericks. That's a blowout right there. So I don't know, man. It'll be fun to watch these guys. It'll be fun to really dive more into the writing, to dive more into the film, to dive more into the highlights, and just hear what people think of all of these three players, and potentially a fourth or a fifth as we get closer and closer to the draft, because people are going to painstakingly study them both. And that's a good thing if you do it with an open mind. Yeah. If you're a Keegan Murray guy and you're watching film to find out why you hate Jaden Ivey or Shaedon Sharpe, that's not productive. Like, go into all of it with an open mind, and it could make for a fun few weeks.
I agree. And then there's situations like this that, I mean, I just don't really get. I don't understand this, right? So our guy Ryan Gill, he says, because we talked in the last segment about Shaedon being somebody mentioned him being like Terrence Ross, right? And there I was like, is that supposed to be a diss? Like, Terrence Ross is a damn good NBA player. Like, I don't look at that as like, oh, he's a bust or anything like that. And then there's a question that I want to ask you and everybody else that may put this whole thing into perspective, right?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.